This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What's going on, everybody? Wednesday, February 26th edition of Sports Talk, heading into the second half in an abbreviated show today as we're going to LSU baseball taking on Dallas Baptist. It's a top 18 matchup today and on the road for the Bayou Bengals in a nice venue where the Texas Rangers play ball. So an MLB park for these guys, you know they're going to be excited about that. Plus, just getting to be away from the box on the road. And in a little hostile territory, though I'm sure plenty of purple and gold fans will be packing the stadium over there. That action starts 7 p.m. right here on WWL. After the first break, we're going to be talking to Sam Bruckhouse, former Tulane linebacker, also does Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist. Help us look at some prospects. Maybe the Saints will be interested at the NFL Combine. And speaking of the Combine, GM Mickey Loomis, along with head coach Kellen Moore, talked to the media today and caused a big stir with folks saying that Derek Carr will be the starting quarterback in 2025. But, you know, we weren't there, Charlie, but for me reading the quotes, it doesn't really say that Carr is the guy. Looking at what, you know, Mickey Loomis told the media, I feel like we've got a guy we can win with. To me, that says it's a nice compliment and great things about Carr there, but it's not saying he is our guy most definitively to me. And also Kellen Moore said, we feel fortunate to have Derek here, the experience he has. He's a big-time quarterback in this league. Once again, it didn't scream to me that he's definitely QB1 come week one of this season coming up.
I think it's indicating that he will be. And Loomis's final quote here, and we'll listen to the Kellen audio in just a second, talking about the contract for Derek Carr, which right now the cap hit is the fourth highest in the entire NFL at over $51.4 million. And with the Saints being negative 47 in the hole right now, a restructure will have to happen. Now, Kat Terrell details in this ESPN article, she does a great job talking about how if they restructure his contract, they can free up words of $31 million in cap space. They would still be in the hole by about $16 million, but that's a little bit more you can work with there in cap hell. We talked to all these different cap experts about this. It's going to take years for them to get back under and, you know, kind of reset everything just with how they've been kind of playing with the cap. But with Derek Carr's contract, this is where it gets kind of scary. That if they restructure him and save that $31 million this year, his cap hit next year rises to $69 million in 2026.
Don't like that.
And it's just, it's not feasible to work with. It just doesn't work. So it's a very strange situation. Mike and I talked about this in the first hour a lot, and we kind of mentioned that it's a poor financial decision to stick with Carr. And yes, you can make it work with the money for this year, but then you're just pushing off this same conversation to next year, Steve. And it seems like that's what they're going to do.
Saints reporter Aaron Summers, along with former Saints QB Luke McCown, caught up with Kellen Moore at the Combine today. And here's what the new head coach of the Saints had to say to those two. Here it is.
We're here at the NFL Combine alongside new Saints head coach Kellen Moore, Luke McCown, Aaron Summers here. Are you settling in a little bit more? How are things going for you now?
Yeah, this gets you back to a little bit more of a normal routine. You know, we're all used to coming to Indy this time of year, and so it's been an awesome process and really fun to team up with the scouting department here as we go through this process.
How does the process change for you now as the head coach coming to the Combine and, you know, going into a new staff, a new scheme, everything that you're going to have to be building here?
It's been a lot of fun. You get to see all sides of the ball, and so you get to be a part of the defensive meetings, which is a lot of fun. Get to experience those guys, and so it's been an excellent process for us.
Kellen, you've climbed the ladder pretty quickly, and we talked in my short stint in Dallas in 2017. This was the direction you wanted to go post-career. Did you assume that it would happen this fast?
Well, I certainly think most of that comes down to being around really awesome people.
Right.
I feel fortunate for the transition from playing to coaching in Dallas, going to Los Angeles and Philadelphia. When you're around great people, you got great opportunities to have great things. Sure. And so I feel fortunate.
For sure. Awesome.
Well, when you look at this team in 2025 season coming up, what excites you the most?
Yeah, I think we got an awesome blend of veteran leadership with really some excellent young guys that are going to become the anchors to our program, and excellent opportunity ahead.
Talk to me about your relationship with Mickey. I've known Mickey a long time. I think he's one of the best in the league at evaluating players. They've got a track record of being very successful, particularly in the latter half of the draft. We just asked Jeff Ireland how important it was to build out your roster through the nuts and bolts, right at the back end of the draft and undrafted free agency. Talk about how that process is going to work with you and Mickey and decisions made on draft picks.
Yeah, one of the most attractive things about this place was just the leadership. Starting with Mrs. Benson, but Mickey, Jeff, Kai, Michael, this is an excellent, excellent group that has a ton of experience being together,
right,
which I think is a great opportunity for myself. And so, lean into those guys on things that you haven't experienced. Certainly, it's going to be an awesome job to collaborate with them.
Yeah. I don't want you to have to give away any secrets yet, but offensively, what are we going to do? What are we doing?
We'll certainly play with some speed. We'll play fast. We'll play a physical brand of football. How it looks, what players are on the field, we'll let all those guys take care of that.
When you look at players, and you've talked about you want to draft good people, you want to have good people in the locker room, people that love football, why is that so important?
Those seasons in the NFL, they're long and they're challenging. I think you got to have the right kind of people in that locker room to handle the adversity, handle the ups and downs. You're going to go on a winning streak. You might go on a little losing streak every once in a while. And the guys that can handle that, that can continue to perform at their best and rally together as a group, that's all you can ask for.
Your philosophy on draft picks, is it drafting for need or best available player?
Certainly anytime it's the best available player, you're going to lean into that. And so I'm excited to team up with Mickey and Jeff and as we go through this process. But, we'll draft the right players for the right situations for us.
Awesome. So if there's a particular, kind of blue and orange running back at 9, what's the thought process?
I might have to step out of the room.
But you are getting an opportunity to really get to spend a lot of time here with Mickey and Jeff and the new coaching staff. How valuable is that for just everybody being new?
All the little interactions, I think, really all add up through this whole process, whether it's sitting in a defensive meeting and having a conversation with, a new defensive coach, them meeting up with Jeff, all those walks down the hallways. Every little opportunity for us is another chance to grow as an entire group.
So fresh off the Super Bowl, got a ring coming. Right into head coaching interviews, you're a hot name in the coaching circles. Get hired by the Saints. When's there going to be rest?
Hopefully 4th of July. Maybe we'll get a nice little break around there. So,
very good.
Yeah, not expecting much right now.
Awesome. Definitely no rest for Kellen Moore right now. The NFL Combine coming up. We got the NFL free agency, the draft, and like you said, maybe 4th of July weekend he can go enjoy something. In that conversation, alluding to running back, Ginty from Boise State, if he's on the board for the Saints at number 9, would Kellen Moore want to be interested in adding the fellow alum? And he's like, I might have to step out of the room on that one. We've talked about it a lot, I think, Charlie. And to me, yeah, you needed to add a running back to this roster, but with the 9th overall pick, there's way too many other needs right there.
To be fair, if they pick Ashton Ginty, let's say he's a top 5 player on their board, and he's sitting there at pick 9. I wouldn't be mad at it. You know what I mean? Best player available, and I like what Kellen had said there about that as well. when you have this many holes, and McCown had asked him about drafting for need, they need so much on this roster, Steve. So at this point, you do kind of just trust your board and go with the best pick. Now, that's why Mike and I are big fans of Tyler Warren at potentially pick 9, because even though he's a tight end, maybe he's the same thing with Brock Bowers, right? If you were redrafting last year's draft, where does Brock Bowers go?
He's going to probably be a top 10 pick.
I think he's number 4. Legitimately, I think he only goes after Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and Drake May. Those top three, like, franchise-level quarterbacks. And I know that Michael Penix had some good showings in his limited action with the Falcons. Bo Nix had a great rookie season as well.
Sure.
It's just an elite rookie quarterback class last year. But Brock Bowers is, like, on a Hall of Fame trajectory, right? And even though he's a tight end, I think he's the 4th overall pick in a redraft from last year. It's kind of early to be doing redrafts. Obviously, it's only been 1 year with these guys, but
people are doing them, though. You know that for sure.
That's kind of what I'm saying, is when you pick a talented guy at pick 9, you know, the best player available, even if it's not the number one position of need, whether that be offensive line, defensive line. You know, the Saints need to bolster their trenches, that's for sure. But if you can get a Tyler Warren and he has a Brock Bowers level rookie season, where you add a legitimate, like, Pro Bowl, All Pro level weapon to your offense, you do that every time. And maybe Ashton Jeanty is that. I know Kellen kind of joked that he would have to step out of the room there if he was on the board. And
Boise, you
know,
State pride there.
Yeah, exactly. I love Ashton Jeanty. And if he's the number one guy on their board and he's the pick, I wouldn't hate it. However, you know, there are other positions of need as well.
My only thing with Bowers, I'll say, is what else did the Raiders have last season to throw to?
But it's the same thing with Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren was the one weapon in that Penn State offense. I don't think they had a wide receiver make a catch in their semifinal loss to Notre Dame. It was all the running backs, their running back duo, which we'll talk more about, because I feel like guys like Nick Singleton and that duo is kind of a little bit underrated because of how stacked this running back class is. But it was them and it was Tyler Warren. That was the entire offense for Penn State last year, and they got all the way to the semifinals of the college football playoff.
We're going to do is take a break right now, getting more of the NFL Combine and Draft Talk. Sam Bruckhouse, the former former Tulane linebacker, works for Sumer Sports now as an analyst over there. We're going to take a break and come back with him, get his thoughts on all things NFL Combine and also what the black and gold should be looking at right now. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. Be right back after this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk, Steve Geller along with Charlie Long, and happy to welcome in former Tulane linebacker and Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist, Sam Bruckhaus. Sam, thanks so much for the time. Really enjoyed talking to you at the Radio Row during Super Bowl week. How's it going?
Yeah, appreciate y'all. I'm out here in Indianapolis enjoying a couple of steaks. You know, I got a shrimp cocktail from St. Elmo's on Monday, and you know, the shrimp just ain't the same as the Gulf, but boy, does that cocktail sauce clean your nose out. It's a very interesting thing. I can't say that I enjoyed it as much as my time back in New Orleans, but it was certainly interesting.
Great stuff, man. How did you enjoy the Super Bowl? Did you get to stick around for the game?
So I didn't get to stick around for the game. You know, it's a little easier to analyze and turn around stuff when you're watching it on TV. But I got to say, you know, you got to own up to it sometimes. I was wrong. I thought the Chiefs, and in particular Patrick Mahomes, were going to have a better performance. And in particular, I thought that their interior offensive line, which had been elite all year and has been elite 4 years, would match up better against the Eagles' defensive line. That didn't happen, and thus the Eagles had a blowout victory.
Yeah, a pretty impressive showing from the Philadelphia Eagles. It was nice to see Kellen Moore's offense also, too, on display, the new head coach of the Saints. Going into this combine, expecting, man, there's so many needs for this Saints club going into the draft. Some of the prospects that they could be looking at, though, one is very interesting that has popped up in mock drafts, is at the tight end position in Tyler Warren out of Penn State. What have you seen in this guy?
So Tyler Warren is what our scouts like to label a true joker. He's a guy who can play in line and block, and he's performed very well in what we like to call our Sumer scores, which are developed a little bit more objectively. You know, we use computers to do all that, and it's trained on years and years of scouting data. And he's been an excellent blocker, but he also can pass catch and be used in other alignments. In particular, Penn State would actually use him at the quarterback position, kind of like a wildcat quarterback a little bit. Here's what I'm worried about, though. The tight end position is not super highly valued in terms of APY, average pay per year, in the league. And the NFL draft sets the values at which these players have to be paid given where they're drafted. And as a result, if you take a tight end very early, you basically have to ensure that he is a top five, top 10 tight end in the league. A team that did it this year, the Raiders, Brock Bowers, that turned out to be true. He was borderline all pro all year. However, that's few and far between. Also, tight ends have a pretty long development curve, meaning it takes them a year, 2 years, 3 years to really settle in to the NFL speed, especially given they both have to block and receive. That's why I'm a little skeptical of the Saints drafting a tight end in the first round.
Sam, looking at the coaching changes that the Saints have made, bringing on Brandon Staley, who's known for the 3-4 defense, the Saints will have to draft players that kind of fit that. And right now on their roster, they're really lacking that big nose tackle. I've been, you know, kind of questioning the draft decisions about trading up every year. It feels like this feels like a good spot to potentially trade down from pick 9, but I'm not holding my breath, so to speak, because Mickey Loomis never does it. But there's one kind of defensive tackle, I think, that in the first round that really could fill that nose tackle role. And it's someone that Mike and I have talked a lot about as far as someone that could blow up the combine. And that's Kenneth Grant, the big defensive tackle from Michigan. I want to get your thoughts on him and, you know, his potential fit with the Saints if they decide to maybe move back from pick 9, because I think it's maybe a little bit rich for him there. But I think he's going to have a great combine, and he's going to be obviously a first-round pick.
Right. So Brandon Staley uses a system very similar to that of Vic Fangio. The whole idea is we're going to play pretty soft coverage and cut the deep plays off, which they were able to do so effectively in the Super Bowl. We saw Staley be able to do that in his time in L.A. as well. However, you know, the nose guard position is very key. They have filled that in Philadelphia, for example, with Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, too. Just massive, massive players. And I think you're correct. The name, as you were describing it, that popped up in my head was Kenneth Grant. The interesting thing in terms of the game theory of it all is I think the Chargers need a defensive tackle as well. Jim Harbaugh coached him. They're losing their two nose guards, Puna Ford and Tyre Tarte. So if you are trading back, you got to be a little bit careful. Make sure you get a little bit above the Chargers if you want to get after Kenneth Grant. I saw Kenneth Grant at the Shrine Bowl. He didn't participate in drills or practice, but I can tell you he's a very big boy. And on film and in our analytics, he pops up as a difference maker. I think it's just going to be how is his size going to translate to the next level, and can he be a true three-down guy?
Looking at a guy that went to LSU, defensive end, outside linebacker, Braden Swinson, transferred from Oregon. And, man, last season with the Tigers really shocked everybody. 58 tackles, 13 tackles for loss, had 8.5 QB sacks. What are you expecting to see out of him at the combine, and where could he end up going in this NFL draft?
Yeah, so it's so interesting. This edge class is very packed in at the top of the draft. So you're talking about the guys like, starting with Abdul Carter, down to guys like Mike Green out of Marshall, there's a potential that 6+ edge rushers could go in the first round. And so it's going to be interesting for Swinson and some of these other edge rushing guys, because I think they could potentially move up into like a day 2 slot, maybe more of a day 3 slot, early day 3 slot, depending on how they do at some of these drills and moreover how they do at the interviews here. Now, I will note, when we're looking at the combine, typically it does not have a super great correlation with production. At best, typically at the tight end position, which we talked about a little bit, it's like 30% correlated to production at the next level. That's not too much. A lot of the teams use it more as thresholding of where to put guys and how productive they can be. But altogether, I think his stuff is on tape at LSU. Again, he also has transferred from another place. And I know the Los Angeles Rams, for example, put out a full line of guys who all transferred and were able to be successful at multiple different places. I think that's all going to go into his evaluation.
Sam, I'm really interested to see this week at the combine is Will Johnson. You know, the hip injury kind of held him out for a chunk of this past year, but the 2023 tape is fantastic. He's got right. kind of a shorter range of, like, cone of uncertainty of where he could potentially end up. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, at the peak, maybe it's around, like, pick 5 to Jacksonville because their secondary wasn't very good this past year. But it feels like the floor for him is at, like, pick 11 with San Francisco and the 49ers yep. with their question marks with Travarius Ward. You know, as I mentioned, his tape is fantastic from Michigan, the cornerback prospect that, you know, maybe the Saints could potentially target him in the first round because moving on from Marshawn Lattimore. Just want to get your thoughts on him as well.
So it's interesting. We're talking about true defensive talent, talking about Brandon Staley and Vic Fangio. He's really been underneath NFL guys for a while. Basically, this year, Wink Martindale, many, many years in the NFL. The year prior to that, Jesse Minter had an excellent year with the Chargers. And those are more, you know, interesting systems and NFL-ready systems. I think people are going to take that into account. I'm really interested to see what he does at the combine. The thing that's interesting, and in fact, I'm sitting with former general manager John Idzik right now at dinner, and it's that there's a lot of cornerbacks in this draft, but outside of Travis Hunter, really, I'm not sure how many of them are going to be impact guys. And I'm trying to figure out who people are viewing as just a lock to be a guy like a Marshawn Lattimore or to be a guy like a Sauce Gardner. It seems like people think that Will Johnson's ability to be very long, ability to make plays mixed with his ability that was shown under NFL defensive coordinators has kind of separated him. But it'll be interesting to see how the draft falls, particularly with the pressure on the quarterback position to go up and get a quarterback for those teams that need it, and the edge rushing position where there could be a run pretty early in the first round. There's potential that he could drop. I currently have him going 6 to Pete Carroll and the Raiders. I think Pete Carroll has built all of his teams around a solid defensive backfield in my mock draft, which you can find on SoomerSports.com. But altogether, I think he's a good prospect, and I think people believe that he can come back from his hip injury that has put a measure of uncertainty into his projection.
Yeah, this corner class is kind of weird, Sam, because a lot of these top guys have that injury issue.
Right.
I mean, like Savon Ravel, for instance, from ECU, has got the torn ACL, and then Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame with, you know, the hip surgery and what's going to happen there with his physical. It's the what-if group of this class. But kind of moving on here, Sam, I wanted to ask you about one more prospect for the Saints at pick 9. I've seen him, you know, when it's not offensive or defensive line projected to the Saints at pick 9, I've seen this guy pop up a couple times, and Tyler Warren, I guess, also, but Teteroa McMillan, the big wide receiver from Arizona, interested to hear your thoughts on him. I've heard the comp with like Mike Evans and Drake London, that type of, you know, size and a true X receiver that the Saints are kind of missing in this offense.
Right, and I think I have currently Tet McMillan mocked to the Saints on SoomerSports.com. Here's my thinking behind that. You know, it seems to be Mickey Loomis talking at the combine today that Derek Carr will be coming back, and that offense was pretty tight in the first couple weeks. And when the wheels really fell off was when the wide receiver position went down. Olave with the multiple concussions, and Shaheed, who was excellent, having a breakout year. Our analytics and our scouts both love him over here at Sumer Sports. And if you can add a third receiver, analytically, there's been some great research by my friend Eric Eager, who is with us at Sumer Sports and unfortunately is now at the rival Carolina Panthers. But, you know, I wish him the best a little bit anyway, though I may root against him twice a year. but he looked into the importance of having three wide receiver options. And I think that's really been a barrier to success for the Saints in recent years. And if they're really going to truly rebuild, and at some point Derek Carr is going to move on, given that he's a little bit older, he's a multi-year veteran, what better setup to do that other than to have some excellent young wide receivers? And I think if you can have three of those guys, Tet McMillan, Olave, and Shaheed, if they're able to stay healthy, that can maintain a level of offense that may be able to push the Saints back into the playoff contention that Mickey Loomis has done for so many years.
Sam, you mentioned that your mock draft is up right now at SoomerSports.com. What else can folks find on that website?
Yeah, so we have excellent tables. Obviously not updating anymore. We don't have any more games, but we have excellent tables if you want to go research it. Also, check out Sumer Brain. You know, people talk about ChatGPT and all this stuff, but when you ask it football question, it just doesn't know what it's talking about. We're training Sumer Brain to be an awesome fantasy guide and things that you just want to ask football questions. You can sign up for the waitlist now. Also, check me out, the Draft FM podcast. You can find it wherever. We'll be talking through all of this stuff. I talked about the news and notes to my mock draft. You can find a little bit more information about why I think Tet McMillan would be a good fit for the Saints and why they may make that move with their selection.
Sam, definitely appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of dinner, my man.
Appreciate it, guys. So glad to be back on WWL.
Thanks, Sam.
Sam Bruckhaus, former Tulane linebacker, Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist. We got a scientist on the air with us today, Charlie.
He dropped some knowledge on us, that's for sure.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be right back getting into some audio from LSU baseball Stephen Milam right after this on WWL. Really looking forward to getting done with work today, because after we wrap up things at 7 o'clock on Sports Talk, we've got first pitch between LSU baseball and Dallas Baptist, a big test for the Tigers tonight, and in a major league park where the Texas Rangers call home in Arlington. We'll see the Tigers in action this evening. I know, Charlie, but it's an impressive park at least.
No, I do like the park. I've said that before.
The team, forget about.
No, I hate the Rangers. I'm an Astros fan. But I have been to Globe Life Field. I went and saw, I think it was a Joey Gallo bobblehead night back in like 2021 or something like that. It was right after the park had opened. Brand new park. Very nice. The AC in there is great, especially during the midsummer in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a cool place to play, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them out there.
Some of the things we know about today's lineup: Luis Hernandez will be the catcher. Braswell back at third base. We got Curiel leading off. Jake Brown will be starting in right with Ashton Larson, the DH for this evening. And Monster Milam moves up to fifth in the order. Steven Milam coming off that 5 RBI performance against Nichols in that victory. Hearing from him after the game, he talked about what's working for him at the plate right now.
Just getting back to the basics, not the start I wanted, but you know, you can't keep a good hitter down forever. So, I mean, just staying positive, just trying to get back to who I am. And I mean, eventually it'll go my way. And that's just kind of all I've been thinking about.
Talking about who he is, well, Steven Milam's now playing shortstop this year. He played second last year for the Bayou Bengals, but made the switch back to shortstop, a position he's accustomed to. And how's it been this year for him?
It's been good. I mean, you play there your whole life. You kind of, it's like riding a bike to me, basically. That's where I wanted to play. I grew up trying to be at LSU shortstop. You know, you got Bregman, LeMahieu, Josh Smith, Kramer, all those guys. And, you know, now I'm one of them. So it's big shoes to fill, but that's what I wanted.
Milam was also asked what's been his focus for this season with the Bayou Bengals.
I would say just being consistent again. I mean, that's who I am and as a player, and staying positive. I know what I can and can't do, and Coach Johnson and, you know, Coach Wanaka do a good job with me, you know, getting me back to the basics when I'm off track and just being myself. I'm one of the best players in the country, and I know that, but you got to go out there and do that every day.
Tigers get to mix things up a little bit playing this game on the road. What is Milam like about playing away from the box?
It's fun. I like different environments. You know, I like hostile environments, I would say, playing against, you know. Our fans are going to travel. They'll be all there, but, you know, I like playing on the road, different environments, different stadium, you know. We got 3 different teams that, you know, we haven't played, so that's fun for me.
Yeah, Milam talking there about hostile environments. I don't know about tonight. We'll see. It is in Arlington. They're playing Dallas Baptist, but I know the Tiger faithful travels well, and curious to see how much purple and gold we see in the park tonight.
I'm excited to see how many people are actually out for a midweek college baseball game at Globe Life Field. Globe Life is a huge kind of capacity. It's an MLB park, right? I think it fills like 40,000 people. So, yeah, we'll see how many people are actually out at the ballpark tonight, but I like that kind of mentality from Steven Milam. I like playing in the hostile environments. I like, you know, the booze, give it to me type of thing.
And kind of adds to your little juice, that, you know, pep to your step.
He's also one of the most clutch young hitters you'll see. Right. You remember how many clutch moments he had in his freshman year with LSU? And he talked about kind of the slow start, but you can't keep a good hitter down. And Steven Milam's 100% right there.
Right. He's like, I know I'm good, so I'll be fine.
5 RBI performance against Nichols. The 3-run home run kind of highlighted that. He's been getting hot recently, and he's a key cog of this LSU offense. If Steven Milam is hitting, and especially Jay kind of, you said he moved up in the lineup for tonight. He's now batting 5th in the order.
Yeah.
He's been batting kind of near the bottom for most of the season, around 8 or 9. And I think Jay likes having him down there. RBI opportunities for the guys in the middle of the order that get on base, but also kind of potentially setting the plate for the guys at the top of the order. And, you know, the humility to be able to kind of take that as well, like say, okay, I'll play my role, right? Yeah. If they want to play me near the bottom of the lineup, I'll still perform and perform at my best. So Steven Milam, as I mentioned, huge fan of his game. We had a text that came in and said that he reminded him of like Jose Altuve, and they were like, I know that will make Charlie mad because he's an Astros fan, but no, I can see it, man. Like he's like the college baseball version of Jose Altuve. Granted, the position change is also part of that, right? Like Altuve is playing in like left field now, apparently, and Milam's switching over from second base to shortstop. But I also like what he was saying about it's like riding a bike because he played shortstop before. So,
looking forward to this matchup too. The Tigers, you know, dropped that game to Omaha and then have been on a tear since losing. And we heard Jay Johnson say, you know, they've responded the right way, the team. And sometimes you kind of need that little nudge to help you out.
And they really were close to winning that game, despite the bats being ice cold.
It was awful,
right? Majority of the game. They made that push in the ninth inning, and they came really close to picking up that W. But Jay said that it doesn't really matter unless you pick up the win, and they've had games like that in specifically the second weekend of the season every single year that he's been there. So hopefully they kind of cut that out for next season. But it's okay. It seems like it's kind of woken up LSU's bats a little bit the last few games, and we'll see if that keeps up tonight.
Major test tonight. Dallas Baptist on tap. A 7 o'clock first pitch coming up on WWL. We shall take a break and come back with more as we get ready for first pitch right after this on WWL. Wrapping things up here on Sports Talk. Tomorrow's show, we'll be breaking down the first day of workouts at the NFL Combine. Linebackers and D linemen, which prospects impressed? Also, WWL TV sports director Doug Mouton will join us to share his insights on the Saints. We'll also talk to Pelicans basketball with NBA writer Ali Cosell. And at 7:30, coverage of the Pels' four-game Mardi Gras road trip starts against the Phoenix Suns. Tip off 8 o'clock, and then they're going to be playing the Phoenix Suns back-to-back on this road trip. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to today's edition of Sports Talk. Coming up next, LSU baseball. Looking forward to this matchup against the tough and rough Dallas Baptist team. We'll see how the Tigers fare against a ranked opponent. Their first big test of the season. For Charlie Long, Mike Dettillier, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night, everybody, and talk to you tomorrow. Who dat?